Arizona went forward with its presidential preference election yesterday, joining Illinois and Florida, even as Ohio delayed its primary. And it turned out to be another good night for former Vice President Joe Biden, who won all three states, including Arizona, by double digits. With us to analyze the reasons why and what's next for Biden is former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard. Terry, Biden is looking to be the third Democratic presidential nominee to win the general election in Arizona since World War II. Do you believe he can win here in November?
I really do. I think Joe Biden brings a sort of a common sense elegance to the ticket, assuming he does get the nomination, that will appeal very, very strongly here in Arizona. He hasn't been here for 8 years, so his win last night, I thought, was particularly significant, given the fact that they really hasn't lavished personal attention on the state of Arizona. I had the privilege of conducting him on a tour back in the 1970s when he was a first-term senator. And I remember he was just astonished by our state and by all of the remarkable variety that Arizona has to offer. And I hope he still has that memory strong in his mind.
Well, so when it comes to certain issues, obviously the coronavirus is top of everyone's mind right now and other things are going on. Is Biden seen as that moderate that could make the difference? How much do you think it is based on him, and how much do you think it is based on President Trump, whether people here in Arizona go for him?
Well, I think there's a little of both. I think there's a lot of Trump fatigue going on here and across the country, but I think there's a tremendous quality in Biden, a common sense appeal that really resonates with people. And, you know, I know him somewhat. I knew his son very well when he was Attorney General of Delaware. And I really admire the family and what they stand for and their lifetime of service. And I think that record and that experience is going to be very important for voters in a turbulent time. And let me just say that last night in Arizona, democracy won out over the coronavirus. And I don't think you can say too much about that. I mean, people were cautioned to stay home, and yet they turned out in larger numbers in the Democratic primary than they did 4 years ago. And I just think that's a remarkable tribute to people's endurance and to their commitment to our democratic system.
There had been thought, obviously, before we saw the Biden momentum turn, that there could be a battle inside the party in terms of Biden's more steady hand and Bernie Sanders, you know, wanting a revolution, as it were. Do you think there's going to be any problem in generating enthusiasm among Latino voters or young voters? Any conflict there?
I think that's always a challenge, and I believe the pundits are right when they say that in many ways Bernie's already won. He's made a major difference in the approach that both Vice President Biden and other Democratic candidates have taken to the electorate this term, this year. They're certainly talking in more fundamental terms than they ever have before. This is not about an election about trivialities. It's about real differences. And I think Bernie Sanders is the title holder, whether he comes out with a nomination or not, and I think the answer after last night is that will not happen. He still had a tremendous impact, and I think that impact is what's going to mobilize Latinos across the country. It's going to mobilize young voters who frankly see their future at stake in a way that it never has been in prior elections. And we always say that. We come into elections and say, this is the most important of our lifetime. I've heard that so many times, it sort of almost bears repeating, but this one really is. I mean, excuse me, this is one where life and death of our country, our democratic institutions, and our public health system all seem to be on the line at the same time.
So you've been in Arizona politics in some form or other for at least four decades.
Ouch.
Now we're at a stage where there's so much talk, especially after Kyrsten Sinema's victory in 2018, also seeing Kathy Hoffman and Katie Hobbs winning statewide office. I'm asking a Democrat here, obviously, but do you actually see Arizona becoming purple? And do you think 2020 will be an indication of that to an even greater extent?
I think so, not as a partisan statement, but simply because demographically, the state is changing. We have more people who, frankly, were born and raised here who have a long lifetime commitment to the state. And I think that's important. We also have a new group of incomers who are not so much from the Middle West, but from California. And they may bring a little bit more of a moderate or even left-leaning view of politics in the world. But I think the most important thing of all is Arizona's always been a centrist state. Throughout my career, we've had great leaders on both sides, Barry Goldwater, Bruce Babbitt, John McCain, and Morris K. Udall. You know, we can point with pride to leaders from both sides of the aisle who have led Arizona, and Arizonans have made some remarkable choices between what appeared to be polar opposites on the political spectrum, but who served us incredibly well.
Arizona's former Attorney General Terry Goddard is also the leader of the Outlaw Dirty Money campaign. Terry, good to talk with you. Thanks.
Thank you much.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders lost Arizona's presidential preference election to former Vice President Joe Biden, as we just heard. And that comes despite strong support from Latino voters. State Senator Martine Cazada has supported Sanders' campaign, and I spoke with him more about what went wrong for his candidate.
Well, there's a lot of things that happened. I think number one is you can't underestimate the impact of the coronavirus and what the impact that it had on turnout. And so Senator Sanders made a very responsible yet difficult plea to his voters. And he told them, hey, we would really love to have your vote. But if you feel that it's in your best interest to stay home and avoid the crowds and avoid the outside and avoid exposure, then please stay home and we will respect that decision. And so when you had that, what I saw at the polls, I was out there in the afternoon, mm-hmm. it seemed like it was a much, much lower turnout than it was 4 years prior. And people were telling me that, hey, I came to cast my vote, but I left my mom at home, or I left, my brother at home who's sick. And so I think that turnout played a big factor. In addition to that, I think you saw that you had, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, the field had narrowed down severely to these two candidates. And people are concerned about who's going to defeat Donald Trump at the end. And there's still questions about which candidate is better suited to ultimately beat Donald Trump. And I think at the end, people went with Joe Biden.
Yeah. So I want to ask about two demographics that have been sort of key to the narrative around Bernie Sanders' campaign, particularly young voters, but then also in Arizona, lots of talk about Latino voters maybe going toward him. What did you see or hear from voters yesterday when you were out of the polls and leading up to this? Do you think that they changed their minds or it didn't come?
I think that the voters that I saw of those demographics, the young and the Latino voters, they were going to the polls with a very progressive outcome that they were hoping for. A lot of them didn't tell me who they voted for, but I got the sense that a lot of them were still voting for Bernie Sanders. I would be very curious to see what those end results are, how Latinos voted. But I got the sense that, yeah, those voters, they still have that progressive agenda that Bernie Sanders has been promoting for the last several years. That's what they're looking for. That's what they want. And that's what they want their candidate to be a champion of. Yeah. And I think that the people that stayed home, the people that didn't come out to the polls, I think that was a part of it. I think that some of them may have stayed home as well that had that same vision. So it's hard to tell, but in my sense, I think that of the voters I saw, of those demographics, they were absolutely Sanders supporters.
So at this point, Biden has a strong lead in the race for the Democratic nomination in terms of delegates. Do you think that Senator Sanders should stay in the race?
Well, at this point, I would agree with what Senator Sanders said a few weeks back. He said, I'm certainly not a masochist. I'm not going to stay in a race that's impossible to win. As we go along and as Biden continues to win more and more states, that is becoming a reality more and more every day. So if this is the trend, and I heard just this morning that he's going to reevaluate his campaign as of right now. Mm-hmm. So, at some point that the math just isn't going to be in his favor. I think that there's going to be some point in probably in the near future where we have to examine whether staying in the race helps Bernie Sanders or it hurts both candidates and hurts both of our chances to whoever the winner is in defeating Donald Trump. And when that point comes, then yeah, I think whoever is in the position where they're obviously not going to win, it would be the responsible thing to drop out. And so as of right now, it looks like that's probably going to be Bernie Sanders. So he will have to make that decision very soon. And I'm sure he will make a responsible decision when that time comes.
So in that case, if Joe Biden is the Democratic Party's path going forward, do you think that the party will unite? Do you think that those voters, those young voters, those Latino voters you talked about will support Biden when it comes down to it?
I certainly hope so, because I think that, we're in a position where we've seen what the result of not coming out in the last election we've seen the results of that for the past, for the past 3.5 years now. And so my hope is that, the young people will see what has happened, what has transpired, what this country has turned into under a Donald Trump presidency, and that they will rally behind the nominee, whoever it is. Young people, old people, whoever, whether they're progressive, whether they're moderate. I think this is a time where Democrats need to understand the gravity of the opposition, and how important it is to get out and support our nominee. And I believe it will. I believe that young voters will make an informed vote. They may not be as enthusiastic about it, but they will still make the responsible vote and do what's best for our country.
Okay. Before I let you go, Senator Quezada, I want to ask you about what's going on at the state legislature. There's a lot of talk about passing sort of a skeleton budget, something to get the session closed so that people can go home and not be around each other in light of the coronavirus spread. What does that budget look like from your point of view? Do you have any information on what's happening down there at this point?
Yeah, that is happening very quickly. And in fact, I will be heading to the Capitol right now to take a look at exactly what it looks like. But from what my understanding is going to be a skeleton budget, meaning we're going to stick to the funding that is going to keep all of our state agencies going and provide all of the basic services that our state needs, and nothing in addition to that, meaning no discretionary spending, no tax cuts, none of the extras that we all negotiate on budget items. We're going to put in the baseline items that everybody agrees are necessary to make the government function. And I think that's important, but there are some very important issues that we will need to address. And I'm not sure if we need the legislature to act on it or if the governor can do it himself, but mm-hmm. things regarding our schools to ensure that testing is available and other things regarding this virus as well, that we will need to address in some way. And I'm not sure if a skeleton budget can address that on its own, but I certainly hope so.
All right. Senator Martín Quezada, thank you so much for the time this morning.
Thanks for having me.